Welcome to the Don't Call Me Midlife podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Alex. We're your coffee-addicted, wine-loving, Amazon-obsessed mom squad.
Think of us as your new besties, but with a podcast. And just like you, we're navigating the Google-defined chaos of midlife while wrangling a pack of boys.
But here's the twist. We're more than just moms and wives. We're on a mission to reclaim our identities beyond motherhood, and we're bringing you along for the wild ride.
Now, we don't pretend to have all the answers to life's mysteries, but we're so good at learning and laughing our way through them.
So whether you're sipping from your trusty Stanley, indulging in an oat milk latte from Starbucks, or raising a glass of Whispering Angel, get ready to hang with us.
Together, we'll keep it real, have some laughs, and remind you that this crazy journey called life is one adventure worth sharing.
Today, we have a special modern mom date with Stacy Miller. I am so excited about this. She is intentional wellness. She's all about intentional wellness. She is also sober for 11 years. Isn't that amazing, Nicole? Right?
It is amazing. Yes. I mean, she's so full of life and so full of knowledge. And I just can't wait to dive deep into this conversation about sober living, sober curiosity.
She's also a mom and has two kids. So we do dive into a little bit about sort of drinking and kids. So you do not want to miss this episode. Keep on listening and you're going to get lots of good nuggets on listening to her sober journey.
Yeah, let's meet Stacy. Good morning, girls.
Hey, how are you? Hi, Stacy.
Good morning. So excited to be here.
We're so excited to have
you. We are pumped that you are here. We have such an exciting episode, and this is something that I think is top of mind probably for everyone listening that we hope. And if it's not, we hope that this discussion really encourages you to think about it, think about the topic. And I'm so excited.
Yay. Yeah. Yay. Yes. Okay. So we are talking about, what are we talking about, Alex? Intentional.
We're talking about intentional wellness, sober curious, yes. Sober living. And that's
sober
why
curious, yes.
We brought Stacy Miller here. She is an expert in all of these things. And I love that she calls her business intentional wellness. We know that is one of my favorite yes. words. So let's see what's in your cup.
My cup. Okay. So Stacy has a mocktail guide that we're going to put in the show notes. And so I made her apple hot toddy because I have a little bit of a head cold. So that's why I can't remember. That's why I have to keep referring to Alex to help me today. So I did take a little Dayquil. It's making me feel a little loopy. So excuse me there. So I'm hope.
Good thing there's no alcohol in there. Good thing you're not taking the Dayquil with the alcohol. That's like dangerous.
Yeah.
No, or it could be funny. No, you could be funny.
Yeah. I'd probably be sleeping in the chair, maybe like trying to wake me up. But yeah, no, it's delicious. And it's got apple cider vinegar in it and cinnamon. And I love it. So thank you, Stacy. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's delicious. Yeah. Alex, what's in your cup?
Okay. I have something really exciting and I'm so excited about it, but I'm always excited about my drinks. In honor of this episode, you know, I do actually buy a lot of non-alcoholic drinks because I'm not one to make a mocktail. That seems like I love to cook. I love to do all that, but making a mocktail to me, just, I won't do it. So I love that there are so many options out there for non-alcoholic drinks. So what I have now, and as if you're watching, this is a brand that I really, really like. It's called Free AF. When I show this to my husband, he doesn't even know what AF is. So that was sort of hilarious. And this is a Paloma. I actually got it for both of us. We love tequila. We love grapefruit. So I love this brand. And it's called Free AF and it's a can. And it is
such a pretty can too.
It is a pretty can. It is delicious. It makes you, you know, if you want to feel like you're having a cocktail or whatever, you know, different reasons, it's sort of more fun than taking 20 minutes to make a mocktail, to be honest, for me.
I
love it.
They're
so
pretty though, mocktails.
They are. Well, you can make me one.
Yeah. I will. Next time you come.
Okay. You come here. You come here. Stacy, what is in your cup?
So it's interesting you say you don't really like to make mocktails because because I'm with you. Like, because for so long, I didn't make mocktails. So in my mocktail guide, it's all super simple ones. So this would be considered some type of mocktail. It is just water with my Hydrate and Detox, which is just like an electrolyte blend. So, you know, there's so many different flavors of electrolytes and stuff out there, but I love my Hydrate and Detox. It's like a lemon flavor with just water, and it just makes me drink it down. And I always say add some citrus, like some lime to it, you know, whatever. I love to do a charcuterie board with like different citruses and stuff too to add, but Hydrate and Detox and water for
me
today.
What brand do you like? What brand do you use?
I use Hue and Grace. Okay. Obviously, I love Hue and Grace. It is all hormone safe, you know, electrolytes and products. So that is what I am currently obsessed
okay.
with.
Okay. I love Hue and Grace too. I think their collagen is amazing. It's the best that mix into the coffee, and you only have to add a teaspoon of it, which I like. Not like a whole scoop of the collagen that gets clumpy. You guys know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to take out my frother to put the collagen in. This one is like so easy. I love it. It's on my coffee bar. And Hue and Grace has
awesome.
I haven't
tried it yet.
I'll send you some. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, I think I'm going to order some. I just need to use up what I have because I'm notorious for not finishing my thing. So that's like, that's my thing that I'm trying to get
that goes
into,
back to your yes. minimalist. Remember we talked about minimalist. I'm the maximist. So I probably have 10 different things that I have open right now that I buy. Okay. We deter as usual.
Okay.
Yes. So Stacey, tell us a little bit about you, about your sober journey, sober curious. You know, as we said in the beginning, all these words are really trending. And when you go to like any restaurant now, I feel like whether it's, you know, a fast place or a slow place, they have mocktails or they call it non-alcoholic drinks, which I really, really appreciate because there are times I do drink, but there are times when I just don't want to, but I still want to have sort of a fun drink. So I love this topic and mm-hmm. I just want to hear your story. How did you get started? What was, you know, a little bit about your journey, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Yeah. So mine started pretty messy, honestly, and has evolved over time. So in May, I'll be 11 years alcohol
wow.
free.
Amazing.
And,
congratulations.
Yeah, it's a long yeah. time. Thank you. So it's been such a journey. So in the beginning, obviously, it was kind of fight or flight. Like, you know, I need to figure out my life situation with my current husband at the time. And, you know, with all that being said, I couldn't do that with a foggy brain. And so I was like, you know, I've got to get sober to do this. He was trying to get sober. He was in rehab, but I kept drinking while he was there. And then I kind of just looked in the mirror one day and I'm like, you know, he's not the only problem in this situation. So I knew for me to, you know, honestly, I love saying this too. Like, I didn't have any goals or dreams really. I just sort of felt like I was in this kind of like hamster wheel of life. And, I had read somewhere that, you know, alcohol-free life frees your mind and this, that, and the other. And so I knew, though, that to make some really distinct decisions in the marriage I was in at the time and just in life, I needed to be alcohol-free. And it was really hard, but it led me to where I am today. And it's evolved over the years. And, you know, in 2020, when things got really hard for everybody, I began to have the courage to talk about it, you know, really 6-7 years into my sobriety journey. I'm like, you know what, all these people making a joke of this, like, this is not a joke, you know, all the alcohol free, everyone was, or all the alcohol drinking in the cul-de-sacs with your neighbors and this, and it was just becoming really, really a problem. And then the toxic mommy wine culture, just that needing the wine, it just started being everywhere, you know? So I was just like, I've got to get loud about this because I saw what it did for my life and so many people around me that were either going one way or the other. So if that
how
makes
old
sense.
Were you? Oh, so totally. How old are you now and how old when did your journey start?
Yeah, I'm 41 now. I'll be 42 in July. And so I was 30 when I replaced the
alcohol.
Did you
have kids at that point or were you pregnant or anything? Okay.
No, I didn't have kids. And honestly, it's interesting that my first husband and I weren't able to get pregnant. Like, and there wasn't really any, we were young, obviously. And I mean, God willing, you know, God has a plan, but we were unable to get pregnant. And And sadly enough, my first husband, we got divorced and, you know, he continued on in his ways of drinking and drugging, and he actually died of an overdose. So my first husband passed away when my son was, my current husband was just born. So yeah, it's a lot. It was really heavy, yeah. You know? So, and it was just, people laugh like, oh, it's a gateway. It is a gateway, you know, because your mind is just, so I love that Sober Curious is out there for people to start having that conversation with themselves about what is this doing for their lives.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing your story. That is a hard story, and you know, it's very brave to be able to share this with an open heart. And you know, there are some people out there that are not as kind, you know, and can probably just come at you. I don't know on social media, but you know, you're just staying true to yourself, and you know, you just have to put out the noise, and the people that need you will find you. So
yeah,
it's hard to be vulnerable.
Yeah, it is. And yeah. I, you know, through my wellness journey that started in 2019, after I had my kids and I knew, being like, okay, I'm aching walking up the stairs, this, that, and the other. I was like, you know, I can turn this around and reframe people's minds. Like, sober scares people, but I can help reframe people's minds for sober for the health of it, you know, alcohol free for the health of it. So that's really where my kind of journey has gone the past, you know, what, 5 years now.
Mm-hmm. So in 2019, you said you were having trouble moving. What journey was that? Like, what were you?
Yeah. So I had just had 2 kids in 2 years. I had my son at 35 and my daughter at 36, and, you know, didn't have time to lose any of the baby weight or anything in between those. So I just maximized my baby weight to the end of my daughter. And I mean, I had gained, you know, about 70 pounds, 80 pounds, honestly, and I could not lose it. And so I just was in a dark place again, honestly, considering drinking again after all those years. But I mean, 2 babies, big house, you think you're happy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was just, I needed to find that health. And so when I started focusing on my wellness, again, was when I realized that, like, you know what, I do think that part of that, really, my strength training and my wellness and my nutrition really was elevated because I didn't have alcohol in my system. So I was like, it burned even more, you know? So I was able to see those quick results and feel great. And, well, not quick results, but you know what I mean? Able to see results and feel good because I was like, well, I'm not hungover. Like, it's 2020. Everyone's hungover. Not me. You know, I'm losing 40 pounds, like whatever. So it's just those little things. When I started talking about it, it started resonating with people, like, oh, okay. Like, I don't have to drink to have fun. So that's really what I try to put.
I also like about the misconceptions about wellness is, you know, when I was doing health coaching, a lot of people thought, well, I just have 1 glass of wine a night. Right. And we know that you don't have to drink a whole bottle of wine for it to affect your body. Right. Because the way your body metabolizes alcohol, it doesn't matter. Right. So I love that it just started with your health journey and feeling good. And I think this is a big topic because that mommy culture of coming and drinking that glass of wine, I know I had my first son 15 years ago, is so acceptable, right? It's like those books, like Sippy Cups Are for Chardonnay, and, you know, all those type of things. I don't know how we got into this thinking, oh, alcohol will make it better, when actually it doesn't. You're like a worse parent from doing that. Like, you should do the opposite. Right?
Yeah. You're impatient. You're not getting things done. You know, you're
eating junk food.
Everything's going to the wayside. You're eating junk food. And then you're trying to wake up and get the kids ready to school, and you're groggy. You may not have a hangover, but you're not feeling good. You're not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It's just,
yeah. It's interesting that you just said you may not be hungover. I had so many people tell me, well, I don't ever get hungover. And then, like, when they did the Sober 30 with me, or have done, like, some, you know, one-on-one coaching with me for, you know, whatever, whether it be health coaching or alcohol-free coaching, kind of replacing the alcohol, they're like, oh.
Oh, that is hungover.
I was hungover. I'm like, you know, so it is so funny that it is hard. That toxic mommy wine culture is out there. Have you guys heard of the Mom Water brand?
No. What is that? Wine or?
Yeah, it's alcohol and it's Mom Water. And they have like a pack you can get called Mom Squad. And then, and it's like a four pack, the tribe, Mom Tribe. So they have that. Mm-hmm. And then there's like one called Mama Rita's. And they're like in the pretty cans, but it's like, it's alcohol. And it's like, it's so targeted.
I mean, the branding is
clever,
you know, but what's it really doing for us? You know,
I remember you just said, you just touched upon that it's hard, right? And I just want to note about that because it's not easy. When I started my health journey in 2020, you know, I was doing some low carb days, right? And I was, you know, didn't want to drink on a Monday, Tuesday. And I remember my first dinner on a Monday, Tuesday with girls. And I was so obsessed sort of thinking, am I having a drink? Am I not having a drink? What are they going to think of me if I have a drink? And to me, this sounds crazy when I talk about it now, but I hope someone can relate to this. It's like, oh, am I not going to seem like the fun friend if I don't drink on a Monday, Tuesday? Like, that's so crazy to think. And the whole way there, I'm going back and forth about this drink. And I go there and my friends are having wine and I chose not to drink. I just stuck with it. And I usually, if I don't drink, I drink Diet Coke because that's like a treat for me. And no one thinks I'm pregnant at 40, you know, 45 years old. So, and I remember, hopefully not, Nicole. So I'm just sharing this story because I remember that proud, like I felt so proud of myself. I woke up the next morning. I was really focusing on how I would feel that next day, even from one glass of wine, that foggy. I may not be super hungover, right? But, and I realized at that dinner, it was a very pivotal moment for me, is that I can actually go to a dinner and have fun and not have drinks. And no one cares, right? They weren't like, why are you not drinking? People generally, I find, are only concerned about themselves, right? And if someone is really concerned that you're not drinking, well, that's about them. That's not about you. And since then, I have gone to lots of dinners. I have done lots of things not having drinks. And I've still been fun. I still have my friends. So my long-winded question to you is, when you started this hard journey, did you have any family members or friends that sort of doubted you or didn't support you? Because I've heard lots of, in this, you know, sober curious culture, of people being like, why can't you have drinks? Why won't you want drink? Almost like shaming people, like Nicole was saying from the beginning. What was your experience like with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely I have, my sister was actually sober at the same time too. And when I started, you know, alcohol free, she was already sober. So I had support from her. But also too, this is a really funny, one of my girlfriends, I sent her an email and said, like, I'm 30 days sober. I just wanted to let you know. She's like, thank God, you were so annoying when you drank. And I'm like, wait, I'm fine. What's But I did, yes. I mean, my brother, we did a lot of football games together and a lot of tailgating together for a lot of years. And so I think when it was more of a shock than anything, because it was just sort of out of the blue, because I kept a lot of my drinking to myself. My ex-husband and I had lots of problems. So we had marital problems and we kept a lot of our drinking, you know, to ourselves. And I definitely secluded myself from some of those friends. And it was like we were talking about before, you know, in 2013, I mean, we had old duels. I mean, that was the choice, you know? So it was like, I was chugging sparkling water. And even then there weren't that many options now. So, I mean, it was really like, I mean, there was definitely people that doubted, definitely people that, you know, I had to just kind of change my life and get my, if I would have continued to go out with certain people, like, and again, I was younger and didn't have kids. So like, it was definitely a mind over matter kind of thing for me. You know, like I had to, it was definitely hard. Now I love it now because there's so many options, and you're right. Like my husband and I go to this really nice restaurant in Charlotte, and I mean, they have a whole alcohol-free menu that they pair with the meal, just like they would do wine.
I want to go there.
It's amazing. Yeah.
We should come visit you.
Do you find that there are different levels that women come to you with issues? Like they're maybe the functioning alcoholic or somebody that doesn't necessarily think they have a problem, but they just want to be sober free, versus somebody that is an alcoholic, you know, that has been for years and like realizes like, I need to stop. Like, I guess either, I don't know if different levels is the correct terminology, where somebody may need to go to rehab versus somebody that could use one-on-one coaching. Does that make sense?
Totally. And yeah, yes. You hit the nail on the head. Actually, I think that there, I mean, obviously when you are choosing to replace alcohol, there are different types of treatment, you know, plans that you can go forward with. And there's not a wrong one. There's not a right one. Like, I personally never participated in AA because it wasn't the right fit for me with my work schedule, with my timing. Like, the times that were available, the meetings I went to a couple was like 60-year-old men. Like, I don't want to sit in a room with 60-year-old men and talk about my drinking, you know? So that didn't work for me. And definitely, there are some people that need to go through medicated detox. There are some people that need to be, you know, their hand held every day. There are also some people like me that are like, I need to figure some stuff out. And like, I don't have time to go to rehab. Like, I'm not trying to be any kind of way, but would that have benefited me? Absolutely. But I mean, I had a full-time job and yes, there is family, there is medical leave, there's all the things now, but I worked for my family business and I had to get stuff done and I needed to make a decision. And yes, there are people that just need those replacements. Like in my sober 30, there's a couple gals that I'm still connected with from 2020, 2021 that went through my sober 30 program that are still sober to this day. So they just needed those replacements. They needed that walk through. They needed that day by day. They needed that kickstart. You know, they needed their brain reframed that like, yeah, you're going to be able to feel some hard stuff now, but definitely there are women that need, you know, that outpatient program, that need that inpatient program. Because, you know, it is a brain situation as well. So we've got to retrain our brain.
So it's almost like with those people that Nicole talked about, that varied amount of men, women, people, it's almost thinking about if someone's listening to this, do I have a problem? Do I not have a problem? Or do I just, you know, want a couple weeks like sober January or dry January? How does, I think about it this way and tell me if I'm wrong, is how does alcohol play a role in your life? Does it control you or do you control it? Right. And I think that's an important thing to notice is that maybe if someone's questioning, you know, Nicole's question about themselves a little bit.
Yeah. So I always like to say, okay, did you promise yourself you wouldn't drink and then you drank? And how many times has that happened? Did you intend to not drink? Because there would be many times that I'd be like, all right, I'm not drinking tonight. Well, okay, well, I'll just have one. You know, and then it's like, for me personally, like one is just like a tease. So I'm like, no, I'm going to have two, then I'm going to have three, you know? So I think it's just those promises. Are you keeping those promises to yourself, your family, your kids, you know, and it's all about how you are feeling about it. So, I mean, if you keep saying you're not going to drink and then you keep drinking, like we need to have a conversation.
Well, it's also interesting because I think alcohol stays in your body for 4 days, right? I think it's four days. Mm-hmm. So
is it really that long?
Yeah, it's that long.
So it's anywhere from 28 to 78 hours that it takes to metabolize out of your system.
There was, I talked to Nicole about this, and this is why I think we're both interested in the topic is a couple weeks ago, I went 2 weeks without drinking any alcohol. Now I know it's like, whoa, good for you, Alex. But it was like, yes, you know, awesome. I don't drink during the week, but then it would be on the weekend. Right. So if someone is also curious, cause I did this myself, is I just didn't have any alcohol for 2 weeks. And the difference between that full 2 weeks as compared to 5 days, you know, and then drinking on a Saturday and Sunday was so crazy clear. And I remember I told Nicole, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to drink again, you know, but it's not a full
5 days if you're drinking on the weekends and it stays in your system, right?
Right, right. Yeah,
I'm sure you have the brain fog and inflammation and all that.
And the sleep, I feel yeah. like as we get older, this sober curious movement or, you know, what we want to call it, is interesting for people our age in midlife, right? Because mm-hmm. of the facts that if I have two glasses of wine, I'm not feeling great the next day. I used to be able to do that. I used to be able to drink a bottle of wine in my 30s and feel fine, apparently. So, but it's just not worth it, right? As we get older, we're sort of thinking about can you tell just like, because you've done a lot of deep dive into this, can you just tell us the health benefits, what you've experienced? Because we hear lots of different things like, oh, it's better for us, right? But what does that actually mean?
So with alcohol, you know, when you are drinking, and especially in our 40s and beyond, when we need that hormone release at night, we need that deep quality sleep at night to repair our body, reduce inflammation.
Amen. Hallelujah.
we need quality sleep. And facts are in, you know, and when alcohol disrupts your quality sleep, first of all, I used to tell people, oh, I sleep great.
Yep.
Oh, no, that was passing out. That was passing out. That is different. Think about how many times you drank and then woke up in the middle of the night between 1 and 3 with the night sweats, your blood sugars all over the place. When that happens, when your blood sugars all over the place, you're storing that fat, your sleep is non, it can't happen. You're finding that DiGiorno that's back in the freezer. And if you want to do a workout the next day, your muscles and your body are so dehydrated from that. You know, you already wake up dehydrated even if you aren't drinking. So imagine all of that. So, you know, it is just totally wreaking havoc on your hormone health, and our gut health. I mean, our gut health and our hormone health. I mean, it is a toxin in our body. And, you know, our body is going to work to get that out first because it is a toxin. And it's just like when you get food poisoning, your body is trying to get that disrupted food out of your system first. So you can't think about anything else. Same thing with alcohol. Your body, it does not know what it is. So it is working overtime to get it out. So you can forget any fat burn, any, you know, of those hormone releases that we need at night. So and our cortisol, you know, normally goes through the roof with that as well.
And is a cortisol, is that where like the anxiety or what is it called comes from? You know, I feel like as I get older, it's almost like I don't have anxiety, thank goodness. But I know if you do, then it gets really heightened, even, you know, any amount of alcohol. So it's like increasing that cortisol level and that stress, you know, which is just not fun, right?
No, that stress hormone does so much for our mind, body, and every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the health benefits and the brain fog and just, you know, being clear. I see a lot more people in this trend of not, you know, maybe not drinking, but I also see people lately sort of, oh, I'm not drinking, but I'm taking a gummy or what do you do about it? It's like, I'm not drinking, but maybe I picked up smoking. Like, I just don't know how I feel about it. Do you see people like replacing one habit with another, or I don't know what you call that?
Definitely. It's, you know, habit, it's replacement. It's a definite habit replacement. And this is why so many people that replace alcohol, like get addicted to Twizzlers and candy and sugar. I mean,
really?
I know I did. Oh yeah. When I quit drinking, I had a Twizzler bag beside my bed nonstop because my body was used to that sugar. And I've had people reach out to me actually on social media that are like, hey, you know, you don't drink. Would you love to try, you know, my gummies or this, that, and the other? And it's just like, I just personally don't. That's just not, again, when I stopped drinking, like that was just not something that was even a part of my life. So, or like it wasn't even out there, you know, to where. Right. So anyway, I mean, I, you know, not one to down somebody for what. I mean, I just, again, I don't know enough about it, but I do know that I would rather you take a walk than have a drink. Try to replace those with, that's what I try to say, like replace those with healthy habits, enough protein. Like, you know, so many women that I've helped are like, I just, you know, didn't even know that like protein would help with my craving, or a 5-minute walk would help with a craving, an alcohol craving, or doing a puzzle, or, you know, I try to just think of these like really simple things that you can do and have out in front of you.
Those are really good things to know. Like the healthy replacements,
anything with your hands, like, and, or just like put your water or your hot toddy, your alcohol-free hot toddy in like a fun glass or something that you like that's been huge for people too.
Yes. We, And we are, you still have littles, but Alex and I are, we have some teens, and that's a big conversation for us, right? Like
the discussion about drinking, you mean, with our kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's so interesting. Actually, I just picked up my oldest from boarding school, and he talked to me for the whole hour and a half home. And it was interesting because he goes, you know, I've done a lot of research lately. And I was thinking, oh, history or this or that. He's like, I've researched a lot about drugs and alcohol. Right. And I was like, interesting. And he was saying, Stacey, what you were saying, like he did like a deep dive into how alcohol affects your body. He's like, do you know that alcohol affects your brain and your health? And it can really, you know, and I was like, almost wanted to sit there and cry. I haven't told you this, Nicole, because the information is out there. It's just, and these, it's, you know, it's a hard topic of conversation. And I don't know, you know, what you're going to tell your kids when they're older, but it's, they're going to do it or they're not, or sort of like how to approach it. My parents never talked to me about drinking, that a shot is a beer, is a glass of wine. Like I had no clue, but that was a different generation. Right. So, talking to our teens about alcohol or them seeing us, right. I know Nicole, you and Jerry are really conscious of that, as well as my husband and I, our teens seeing us drink, or when we drink, or if we drink, or, you know, I think, does that ever come up with your clients, Stacey, that you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. We've talked, and actually my sister and I talk about it a lot because she has older kids, and she started drinking again after 9 years and went through a really rough time for a year. And now she's back 3 years alcohol free. So, you know, it's hard because she wants her kids to, you know, understand what alcohol can do. But you also, we know too, like as parents, I mean, my kids are only 5 and 6 and I'm like, don't do that. So what are they going to do? They're going to do it, you know? So it's very hard. And yeah, people, I think that, you know, leading by example, showing you can have family fun, showing you can do all these things. But when you only see mom drinking at the birthday party, well, then in their brain, it's like, well, it's a birthday party for a 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. So we must have alcohol. You know what I mean? So I think it's that doing those activities with your family and showing that you as a family and as a unit, you and your spouse can do things without, you know, having alcohol. I think it's just so important to just lead by example on that, and then know that, whew, with the teens, I mean, I don't even want to think about that yet, but I mean, I'll be asking you guys for advice.
Good luck with that. But even if you decide, even I have a question for both of you, even if, you know, I'm not leading a 100% sober life. There are times I drink, times I don't. I think it's also a good example for people out there that sort of want to do both is, you know, showing your kids you can have that one glass of wine, right? Because that's okay too, that you can be in control and do that. I have a question. You have littles, but what do you think about if you're like out to dinner with your family and my kids have asked me this, can I have a sip of your drink? Can I have a sip of your wine, a sip of your champagne? Or, you know, what do you do, Nicole? You don't have to say.
What do I do? I don't mind at all. I let my kids have a sip. And typically they don't like it. So we try not to make things taboo. So it's better. I mean, we just think it's better to like bring it up versus hide it. So Jerry and I, we're not intentionally sober. Frankly, we just don't enjoy it that much. We don't enjoy how we feel. I will typically get an instant migraine, if I drink. So we just don't drink. On occasion we will. Tequila does not give me headaches. So I will sometimes have a spicy margarita. And when I do, my kids are always shocked. And, you know, then we have a conversation like, it's okay to have one if you're not driving, and things like that. But it has been my older one that has really asked to try things. And he's usually like, this is disgusting. I don't understand how people like this. And so, and then we're like in private conversations, we're like, well, one day you may like it, but maybe not now.
So I think they're curious. I think there is a curiosity. I mean, think of when we were, you know, high schoolers, and I had a situation where one of my kids actually really likes champagne, and we were in Paris, and we said, "Oh, do you guys?" It was a sip. Sorry, it wasn't a whole glass. That's this. I did not get my kids a glass of champagne, but it was Paris, and we were excited looking at the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, and so each of my kids had a sip, and then, you know, we were there for 3 nights. Every night they had a sip, and then one of my kids, who remains nameless, was like, "Oh, can I just order a glass?" No. But there it's very common. You know, I was talking to people that are there that, again, to not make it taboo, and every family has different ways that they do it, but not making it, like you're saying, Stacey, such a sacred thing, because that's when you've got kids that go to college that have the alcohol poisoning, and, you know, so I think it's making it seem manageable, I guess.
Yeah. There's so much to learn about teens, because my sister-in-law was telling me that, you know, because they live in Michigan, and that, you know, when she talks to her son, who's a freshman, she's like, "Listen, be careful, stay in groups if you decide to drink." And one of their friends fell asleep in like the frat house, like it was like full of windows, and like one of the windows was left open. He's fine, but he woke up and he was not feeling well. And somehow he like, they just, his friends didn't notice, but there are situations where kids fall asleep outside and, you know, unfortunate things happen. So there's just more to talk about than health benefits. You know, it's just, it's dangerous and the choices. And so, you know, when our oldest has friends sleep over, we're at the conversation, like, do we hide the alcohol now? Because his room is downstairs and we do have like a little bar set up. We haven't yet, but I don't know. These are things that are coming into our world as we get older and raise our kids.
So, Nicole, what time is it?
It's my favorite time. It is unsolicited advice time.
My unsolicited advice, you know, it really is just, be very honest with your kids about alcohol. I mean, my kids are now at that curious stage where they are asking about what is B-E-E-R spell? What's alcohol? Like, they know I celebrate my sobriety dates every year. I'll cry talking about it. We were having fun, but they know that mommy can't drink alcohol. They know that I'm very honest with them. I'm like, mommy turns into a different person. Mommy will sleep with the neighbor. Mommy will, I mean, you know what I mean? Not really.
But mommy will make bad choices. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, mommy is not mommy. Mommy would not be married to daddy if I drink alcohol, like all the things. And they're just like, okay, you know? And so I just, that's my advice. Like, just be open and honest. And the other thing is, if you are feeling the pull that you want to replace alcohol in your life, don't do it quietly. Do it loudly. Talk to your partner, talk to your best friend, talk to your spouse, message me, talk to me, anybody. Like, no judgment zones. Like, the hardest thing you can do is not have a support unit and try to do it, because there's such a huge support unit out there now, because like we talked about, Sober Curious is trending for sure.
Yes. Thank you so much, Stacey. Alex, do you have any unsolicited advice?
I could just talk about this all day. I just love it. We need to do like an easy mocktail class, Stacey, an easy one,
yeah,
right?
I would love that.
Seltzer and cranberry. We mentioned in the beginning, Stacey does have a mocktail guide, which is fun. And that could be, those fun drinks you can also make with your kids. You know, they make a lot of alcohol now. I went to a restaurant where I had a virgin margarita, and it was actually really, really good. And then my son wanted a drink of it, and I was like, I don't know, because it does taste like alcohol. So not sure about that one yet. I would say my advice is probably, if you are interested in knowing what it feels like to not have alcohol in your body, is what I did, is take 2 weeks, right? I used to think, honestly, in my 30s, I was like, there's no way I could go 2 weeks without alcohol. Once you do it, it becomes almost like a little addictive. Like, how good can I actually feel? And I was watching my Oura Ring and just seeing, and when you start, like Stacey said, those little habits of working out or eating healthy or taking a walk, it can be just drinking water in the morning. It gets sort of like, you know, then you go back to having a drink and you're like, whoa, okay. Then you know what it feels like. So it's good. I think we are all so busy in this midlife, you know, if whether, and we are not saying to drink or not drink, we want you to be you, but explore what makes your body feel. I mean, I have some friends that are like, my blood type is Sauvignon Blanc. And I'm like, okay, mine's not, right? As I get older, I realize I can't drink as much sugary stuff with wine. So I've sort of tried to cut that out. And if I'm going to have a cocktail, but be curious, listen to your body, take the time, see how you feel when you drink certain things. How many can you drink? Because our body and our hormones, like you're saying, are changing so quickly. When I used to be able to have 4 glasses of wine, now I can have 2 vodka sodas or 1 martini. You know, just listen to your body and don't be afraid to go to a girl's dinner and not have drinks. Okay. That is A-okay. And you can hang with me. You will still be fun. You will still be dancing. You will still have a good time and you will still be that fun friend. So lots of advice, but I love this journey and I love thinking about this. Nicole, what is your advice?
Well, I think you ladies touched on a lot of advice and I don't know if I can
so much good
come
advice.
Up with any more. No, but I think the one thing that really resonated with me, Stacey, is when you said, you know, let's talk about how you feel when you wake up. And this is actually being hungover and kind of leaning into questioning yourself, like, am I breaking promises? Like, if you're questioning, do I have a problem or am I sober curious? Just lean into it. You know, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with it and there's no shame.
Yeah. Yeah, no labels.
Yeah.
There's no judgment either way. Yeah. If you're someone that's like, I love my martinis, I love it. That's awesome. That is so good for you. We support everybody. Stacey, what is your Instagram? How can we find you? Because you have so many nuggets of your intentional wellness that I love. What's your Instagram? How can our listeners find out more about Sweet You?
Yeah, thank you. It's Stacey, S-T-A-C-Y .T.Miller. And then I have a little bio that you can click on. There's lots of things in there that you can check out. You can message me directly. Lots of people do that and share your story. And I'll be happy to chat and direct you in all the great ways.
And it's actually her that answers. So there's no bot.
It is me. Stacey, it is me. Yes.
I will say that Stacey does answer. And she also has a walking challenge that starts this month because it is, what is it? Sleep Awareness Month?
It's Sleep Awareness Month. And one of the really cool things about, you know, replacing alcohol is your quality of sleep. So Sleep Awareness Walking Challenge.
So check that out. She also has lots of good information that we have talked about. But thank you so much, Stacey. Thank you for being vulnerable to this story because I know you've touched our lives today just by sharing your story. So you keep on going, girl. Let's get fun mocktails out there. Let's keep on doing that. Keep on having fun.
Let's keep celebrating your sober date. Which, when is it?
It is May 10th. So,
right before amazing. Mother's Day. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't do bottomless mimosas here.
Either do I. I can't drink on Sundays. That's too. All right. You guys are the best. Talk to you later.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Don't Call Me Midlife. We hope you had as much fun as we did.
Absolutely. Your support means the world to us. If you're just waiting in the carpool line, don't forget to follow the show. And if you're feeling extra spicy today, leave us a rating and review.
Before we part ways, we've got a special invitation for you. Join our newsletter to stay in the loop with all things midlife magic, bonus content, and more.
Head on over to the show notes for how to sign up. We can't wait to keep the conversation going.
And of course, remember, in the whirlwind of life and motherhood, don't forget to fill up your own cup first.
You're extraordinary, and your journey is worth every moment.
Until next time,
cheers.